morning to all of you. A very warm welcome. Everybody's got their hands in their pockets and everybody's sitting there except for Irene, who's got short sleeves on. Boy, oh boy, she's incredible, this lady. So it's a warm welcome. It's a warm welcome for everybody. Just saying, just something extra today. I'm just wondering if at some stage during this morning, you could give a warm welcome to somebody that you might not have given a welcome to before. I think sometimes we miss out. We always chat to the people we always chat to, like I chat to Jim, I chat to Uncle Laurie and people like this. But if we can today, maybe we don't have to chat, just say a howdy, good day, and see if we can keep our community warm and welcoming. We welcome Ed today as an extra in our band, and we're pleased to have Chloe as well, and Renjini and the amazing Bruce. She's an incredible lady. She's got great taste in people, and and of course Bill, and the team at the back, and Trevor. Let's see how we go. A nice warm rousing hymn to start. To God be the glory. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. When I chose these songs the other day, I didn't actually know how that they were going to fit in so well. So we said, praise the Lord, stand up, sing out, open your mouth, which you did, you're amazing, that was an amazing sound that you created. And now, the second song, Let the Flame Burn Brighter. Now that's not, we're not saying we are going to burn the place down or anything. We are just saying we have got energy, we have got enthusiasm, we have got a flame inside us. So let us... Hope is right. One, two, three. Hope is right. We'll walk the land
with hearts on fire,
and every step will be a prayer.
Hope is rising, new day dawning, sounds of singing fills the air. 2,000 years and still the flame is burning bright.
Shine always gets to me. When I sing the word shine, you don't sing the word shine with lips together. Everybody always sings it. That long song, Shine Jesus Shine. Shine Jesus. It's amazing. It's incredible. You may sit. You may sit. If you want an amazing cup of tea, some amazing people, an amazing coffee, and to see some incredible work, rock up here on Thursday. The biggest morning tea is celebrated here at Creative Connection, and Creative Connection happens between 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. But you can work, you can turn up anytime. Cups of tea and coffee prepared and presented by an amazing team of blokes who are in the kitchen, and they and you will be welcomed. It would be lovely if you made a donation to the Cancer Council. But the biggest morning tea is a huge thing, happens Australia-wide, and 10:30 to 11:30 is its official time. But just PS, you are allowed to be here earlier. You don't necessarily get more cups of tea, but you will get a chance to see the incredible works that those people are doing. And just as an aside for Creative Connection, there are people who come to Creative Connection sometimes and walk in the door and say, "Oh, I forgot my craft, or I forgot my art today." Deliberately, they basically just came for a chat, and that's good. That's all good. That's not a problem. Nobody checks it. Nobody says, "Let me see your work today, and I'll mark it out of 10. It's a good system. We welcome Trevor, and we are looking forward to what Trevor has to share with us today. Did you see that little blurb on our notices before the service started about the buddy blankets? That's an amazing idea. Somebody has looked at those chip packets and popcorn packets and something or other else, whatever they are, and said, These could be reused and made into blankets. I'm going to be extremely interested to see the results of all that chip eating that I've been doing. No. It's just... what I'm saying is I'm extremely interested to see the results of those blankets. They are incredible. But we are an amazing bunch of people, and I'm very, very proud of saying that, and we will share our Bible reading now. Thank you, Kirsten.
Our Bible reading today is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 19. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on the earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, and all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. See those little candles that Ken has up there? We are marching in the light of God. Let's sing it. We are marching. 1, 2, 3. We are marching in the light of God. 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 Marching. We are marching, marching, we are marching. Whoa. Incredible, fantastic, thank you very much. You may be seated. Let us hear what Irene has created for us today. Irene has set the mark very high with the prayer that she did last time in my rating system. Let's see what she's worked out for today. No pressure, Irene.
And it's warmer up here than this day.
That's because we're all hot in the band.
Well, I see I have somebody who dresses in sympathy with me, Bill.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And this is due to that wonderful Australian animal, the merino.
Yeah.
The sheep. So I'm nice and warm. Thank you very much. Let's pray. As a Christian women and men, we assemble here this morning to offer our prayers and our thanks to you. We give you thanks for this most beautiful land in which we live. Please help us to care for it and to be responsible so that it may pass unscathed to those who follow us. We pray especially for those whose livelihoods depend on the land. We wait expectantly for the winter rains to nourish the soil so that our sisters and brothers may raise their animals, sow their seeds, reap their harvests that keep us all alive. Grant wisdom to those people who are making decisions concerning the use of the land, that it may remain a source of life for future generations. We also pray for the peace of the world, the leaders of the nation, and for all in authority in these times of terrible international tensions. Your sovereign rule brings peace and justice, and we need your mercy on our broken and divided land. We offer prayers for those women, children, and men who are suffering throughout the world. May your special blessings be granted to them so they will survive and live their lives in the peace that you intended. May your spirit dwell in the hearts of all the decision makers who are striving to find peaceful solutions to the crises that are beset us at this time. We pray for your universal church and for all people of the world who congregate to offer your prayers. Lord, you said to the apostles in the Gospel of John, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, or let it be afraid. Regard not our sins, but our faith in the church, and grant it peace and unity." We also pray for your clergy throughout the world as they live and they work. We offer our prayers for our own church here in Woodcroft and the work that is being conducted. May your spirit be with each of us today at the Vines as we search our souls and celebrate our faith in you. Almighty God, your Son Jesus showed his love for us by being about healing all manner of sickness and disease amongst people. Please continue this gracious work among those who are suffering today. We especially remember those who are known to us. And I would suggest that we take a minute to pray for those who are closest to each of us. We remember, Lord, all of your people departed this life in their faith, and we bless your name for all who in the life and death have glorified you. You recorded in John's Gospel that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious and his mercy endures forever. As a conclusion to our prayers today, please join with me as we remember the prayer Jesus left us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord of mercy and God of grace, hear our prayers.
That's what a team does. It's amazing. Thank you. Thank you very much, Irene. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's go. And the offering will be brought forward during the last part of this song, and then the offering will be blessed by Trevor, and then we get to listen to Trevor. Let's stand and sing.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, I think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet I forever be wandering. Jesus, be my guide, hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you that you rejoice in the gifts we bring, all of our gifts, those that are seen by others and those that are seen only by you. We pray that all of our gifts would be used for your glory, and we thank you for these gifts we bring today. Amen. No stool. Where's my stool? And I'll just find the right page here.
It actually says buy a loaf of bread on the way home, I think.
Thanks. I don't know what this is doing. Try again. Oh, I don't know. They're going to put it up for me later. Aren't you? Because you're good guys. Well, thank you for having me back. I have to tell you that you are the guinea pigs. As most of you know, I had a stroke last year, and so this is the first time I've preached again since then. So, since the last time that I preached, I was actually preaching while I was having a stroke, so that meant that I really wasn't making a lot of sense. But then again, some would say I never do. So, look, we're just going to have fun with it, and we're going to go with it, and hopefully we'll remember that all of us are here by the grace of God and for the glory of God, because that's, in fact, what we should be about. doing those things. So I was looking and I went, oh, I've got three services. That'll be good. Not, but that's okay. Because you guys need the help. And I thought, well, what will I do? And I went, oh, I could pick a few things that are thematic, because I've always liked thematic things. And so I'll do something short. And I went, Colossians, that's good. So I started to look at Colossians. And the more I looked at Colossians, the more I realised that this wasn't just a simple thing at all. I thought I'd just go bang, 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 and that would be it. Knock them out and, you know, Bob's your uncle. But in fact, I realised that there's a lot that's going on. The book of Colossians is actually one of those books that's really focused on the seven churches that are in Asia. So that's right in the middle of all of that early stuff that's happening in the church. You know, what's happening to the seven churches? You know, I'm sure you've read them, Revelations 2 and 3. You've, you know, all of the churches are, you know, if you were lukewarm, I'd spit you out. I'm sure you will love that. I love that. Great image. Okay? So you've got that. But the other thing is that the letter of Colossians is one of the so-called prison letters. In that these were written while Paul was in prison in Rome. And so these letters are sent to various people so that they will be encouraged. And that's the point of those letters, is to encourage the early church. So we've got this letter, which is actually a subset or part of a subset of a couple of others. It's a prison letter, and it's from the churches in that are in Asia. So it's out of that. So this is actually quite a remarkable thing. Also, as we look at it, we realise that in fact it's quite different. As we look at this letter to the church in Colossae, we realise that its language is quite different. I did a bit of study. There were 48 words. It's not a long letter. It's only four chapters long. And there were 48 words that appear only here in the New Testament. Now, that's a lot. I mean, I doubt that I will come up during this sermon with 48 highly powerful initial words that, you know, you might actually want to hear rather than others. But it is quite significant. Also, it uses some forms that are in fact quite unique. Forms that are not generally well known. And so we get the hymnic forms of Colossians. We all know the great hymn in Colossians anyway. But there is a great deal of that form all through that letter. So there is a very strong understanding that this is different. And so out of that, the scholars have said, actually, we don't think Paul wrote this. We actually think somebody else did. Now, you can argue that all you like. The fact is, the early church was pretty clear that this was actually a part of the Pauline corpus. All of those words, all of those letters that were part of what Paul was about. And in fact, most people think that Timothy wrote this letter. And that he probably did it because Paul asked him to. Because we know Timothy was with him, that Timothy often was a messenger from Paul, and there are quite a few bits. If you spend some time looking through the New Testament, you'll see that Timothy keeps turning up. He keeps turning up and doing the things that Paul wants. Paul sends him all over the shop. Go and look. It's fun to see how it works and how much Timothy is important in that. So if ever you need someone to encourage you and to think about what you can do, then let me help you to think about the role that Timothy plays. But I think it's reasonably clear, or at least in my mind it is, that this letter was written by Timothy because Paul asked him to. Okay, he said, I want you to write to the church in Colossae. And it wasn't always easy for Paul to get letters out of prison. So I think it's clear that we've got here something that's happening that we need to hear, because it says something to us. That Paul has gone out of his way to make sure that this letter, with all of its content, gets to the church in Colossae. He's gone to quite a lot of effort to make sure that people get this message. So that says to me that this is a letter that you should really think about. Now, I'm going to encourage you to actually read it. It's 4 chapters. You know, you could do it, you know, before you did the quiz or something today. That is for those of you who do the Australian quiz on a Saturday and haven't done it yet. You know, you could do it today, or you could do it, you know, a chapter a night for 4 nights this week. But read it as a block. Okay, so we've got this message that Paul wants the early church to hear. Now, if the kind gentleman at the back, I'm not sure who it is who's on the computer today, but if we could go to the first part of the reading from Colossians 1, that'd be great. And you can all look at it then. Look, too hard? No? It'll be there in a minute. I trust them. There it is. Look at that. One of the things that's really interesting about this is that here is a word to people who have been struggling. Life hasn't been easy for them. You know, in fact, for most of the early church, it wasn't. Okay? It was difficult. But I want you to look at some of this. For this reason, since the day we heard it. No, we didn't just hear of it, you know, over the back fence or on Facebook. You know, this is something that he's gone out of his way to connect. Because remember, you know, the mail system was one of the big inventions of the Romans. You know, all of those roads, well, they had to send something along them. That's how most of the mail got there. And, you know, this was about using that Roman system of communication to share with them a really powerful message. And what is he saying? We keep praying for you. Is that it? We have not ceased praying, that's right. Got to get the language just right. Okay? This is not a little byplay. This is not, oh, I thought I should do that. You know? I mean, how many times do we go, oh, I should have rung so-and-so today? I'm sure all of you always ring when you think you're going to. I don't always. I've got to confess. But here is Paul, or in fact Timothy on Paul's behalf, saying, you really matter. This really matters. And he is going to a great deal of effort. You know, why? So that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is not just, oh, it'd be a good idea. Is it? This isn't just about it being a good idea. Paul is really focusing on what these people need to hear. Remember, they're people who need encouragement. And what's he saying? This is all happening to you. This is all happening to you. It's all available to you. Paul is saying clearly that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Can you hear how positive this language is? It's not just, hope you get to church on Sunday. This is about really having a really strong encouragement of what is going to be happening. Paul is saying all of this, and he's saying it from his own perspective. He's saying, I know all of this, and this is what I'm passing on to you. So this letter, remembering its context, that it was written by Timothy because Paul asked him to, so that these people would really get this message. And this, thank you, get to that in a moment. I'll come back to that in a moment because I just want to remind you here that this opportunity is about Paul working out his power. And he goes, we're going to go back there. Yes. All the things he's talking about are in fact who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In the light, I think it is, yes. Okay, so we've got Paul is saying to these people, you know, you're not just over the other side of the Adriatic there, or on the other side of the Turkish Peninsula, whatever that's called. What is that peninsula called? Anyone remember? I don't. But you know, it's modern Turkey. You know, here these people who feel a long way away from Rome and a long way away from Jerusalem, a long way away from everything, these are people who are clearly seen as the direct recipients of this message. This message is for them. And it's an encouragement to them. So when you see that, Paul is saying, enable you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's your inheritance. That's who you are. And remembering the context of this, we see how powerful it is. At least I do. This engaged my mind greatly in the last week or so. As I have dealt with this, I'm going, wow. Must be a minister thing. I guess that, us as ministers, we've preached this stuff for years. And every so often, one of the great delights of being a minister is that you go back to the scriptures and you read something with fresh eyes. And like, wow. It's one of the great delights to go, wow, look at this. It's there and it's obvious. And I want to encourage you to hear it. Let's go on to the next bit if we can now. We'll go on beyond that. We've made that point really. Okay. And then so Paul has done all this stuff about what's happened in him. And here he starts to move into actually talking about what is offered. I mean, Paul talks about what God has done through him in the prayers and in all of the other things, all of the things that are offered to Paul. But now he starts to move to these verses. Here, this is actually a transition couple of verses. He's going through and he's talking about making the transition from what's happening in him to starting to talk about what's happening through Christ. And we'll go on again. We should get there Yep. And now, what does Paul do? He doesn't say, oh, you should live a good life. No. He doesn't say, oh, God will do things like, you know, fix up your cats or your dogs. No, this is much more powerful. Listen to what he says here. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Do you hear that? That's a promise for you. In you, all of this stuff is going to happen. Not in someone else, but it's a promise for you. This is a promise for you as one of God's children. That this stuff is designed for you. That God isn't just saying, oh, well, you know, I hope you have a good time at church on Sunday. You know, this is about a deep encounter between your spirit and the Spirit of God. That's what Paul through Timothy, is offering to the church in Colossae. This huge transformation and this huge difference. This is what Colossians says to this group of people in Asia Minor, that they might understand that God's power is working through them. And that was put into the canon so that we know that it wasn't just for the church in Colossae, it was for every church. Not just for all of those people, but for us. This promise is for us. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And that promise was made for you and I. When we read the book of Colossians, the letter to the church at Colossae, this is starting with a promise, but also with an expectation. An expectation that God will be at work in us. Now, I have to admit that I'm one of those funny people who find it an incredible miracle that God is at work in our lives. Many years ago, I only say that because I can't remember what year it was, you know, but we were down at Semaphore, and I got asked to consider going to Kangaroo Island to be the minister there. The synod said, look, we'd like you to think about it, please. And so we went over to Kangaroo Island. And we talked with the people, and they were lovely. And we came back, and Sue and I looked at each other and said, nah, it's not going to work for us. There were all sorts of reasons. Anyway, so about 2 or 3 weeks later, one of the people from Kangaroo Island, a guy called Des Pratt, actually came and he visited us because his brother-in-law lived down at Lefevre. And he said, look, I just want to thank you. You really took it seriously that you were prayerful and considerate and all these things. And he said all these really nice things, which we didn't deserve, but thank you anyway. You know, but he was saying all these things. And what he didn't know was that we had said, no, we don't think we can go, and they were going to do something. And what he didn't know was that for Sue and I, we were still uncertain. And he said all this stuff. So he came to visit us on the Tuesday night, I think it was. And Sue and I were really kind of moved by this and prayed that night. And we, you know, as to God, what should we do here? You know, the usual prayer that we sort of have of, oh gosh, I've got no idea what to do. What do you reckon, God? You know, one of those sort of prayers. And anyway, in the morning, Sue and I woke up, looked at each other and said, we should be going. You know, whoops. Anyway, so that morning we ran around and I knew some people, because you always know people. And, we sorted it. We by lunchtime, we made it work. You know, the person who was supposed to be going next to talk to them, they hadn't been able to phone them and get through to them. I don't know why. And who knows? I mean, for crying out loud, back in the 80s, mobile phone reception was pretty spotty through most of the country. You know. Anyway, so we sorted all this. And by the Wednesday night, Des is at this meeting, presbytery meeting, and he's there, and they get up and they announce that we're going to Kangaroo Island. Because we'd sorted it. It took us all day, but we'd sorted it. And then poor old Des. And I want you to think about poor old Des. He's done the right thing. He's been gracious and helpful and done all the stuff. And there he is. And at this meeting, he gets thrown a wobbly, doesn't he? I mean, what would you do? If somebody who you... I mean, they spoke to us the night before. It was a lovely time. But what are we doing there? I always would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to see Des's face. I've got to tell you. You know, it's my sense of humour that I see that. But what just happened? What just happened was that God was working his purposes out. He was prepared to work in us even when we had been slow to respond. When we needed a bit of spiritual forbatoo around the head to notice. You know? The reason I'm telling this story is because we need to hear that even though there are all of these wonderful promises that we read there in Colossians 1, there is another powerful truth. And that is that what God is doing, he is working out through us, and we can be encouraged because sometimes we're still too thick to get it. But God is still wanting to work through us and use us. And so as I have read this, or you've read this, this is about the fact that God is working through us so that his will might be completed. This is the promise of Colossians. These wonderful promises that we read in chapter 1. But it's also a promise from the Spirit of God that says that God will work his purposes out through us, that he will use us and transform the world through us. So, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to hear the promises in Colossians 1. All of the wonderful things that are there about how powerful the presence of God is. When you read all that stuff, it's up there, you can just keep glancing at it. When you see all this stuff, there is this huge promise that you're a part of, but also there is a commitment from God to work in and through us, even when we are not always aware of it. So I think that's pretty exciting. And I think that we're going to see lots more exciting stuff as we look at the rest of Colossians. May God's blessing enrich you as you grapple with his word. Amen. Now, what are we doing? Are we singing a song here, Rob? Good. I'll let Rob introduce it.
This is, in fact, a song that I'm pretty sure we haven't sung before. If we have, we haven't sung it very often. So we're going to have a little taste and see. So we'll sing it for you, verse 1. And you can sort of go, oh, that tune, I can work that out. That's pretty straightforward. It's not a fast and stamping and bouncing. It's a bit of a gentle one. But as you can see, it is called Prayer of Peace. And as you can see by the words, may the Father of love stir you deep in your heart. May the Son bring his tears to your crying. May the Spirit of love rise anew every day and compassion flare up in your soul. I am impressed when people use words that really touch. Compassion flare up. Love that idea. That's just amazing. What's that? By a South Australian. This guy's I think he lives up in Bridgewater, wherever, so whatever. Fantastic. Yep. Let's try it. Just a gentle. Verse 1.
May the Father of love stir you deep in your heart. May the Son bring his tears to your crying. May the Spirit of love rise anew every day and compassion flare up in your soul.
You're amazing. Let's start at the top.
May the Father of love stir you deep in your heart. May the Son bring his tears to your crying. May the Spirit of love rise anew every day and compassion flare up in your soul. May you live day by day.
We're not staying here all day. But you know the good thing? Even though we have to move on and go out, our God is with us. And as we go around all of the things we have to do, just know that you go with the Spirit of God living in you and with you. Amen.
May the Father